Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Voice of the Cape, Drive Time, welcome back. 072-238-0712, WhatsApp line, if you have any comments. Free Book Friday, and today in my hand is a book entitled Inside Apartheid's Prison. Author is Raymond Suttner. It was originally published in 2001. This is a brand new, updated version of this classic, published by Jacana Media. On the front cover, it's got a tribute by Walter Sisulu. It says, Raymond Suttner is one of a small number of white comrades who played a substantial role in bringing apartheid to an end. His book should be read by all who are interested in South Africa. And at the bottom of the cover of the book, it says, with contemporary reflections on life outside the ANC. Professor Raymond Suttner lives in Johannesburg. He's a part-time professor at Rhodes University and an emeritus professor at the University of South Africa. Initially a legal academic, he later obtained an interdisciplinary PhD in history, political studies, and sociology. And of course, during the apartheid era, he was imprisoned twice, from 1975 to 1983, and in 1986 detained for 27 months, 18 of them in solitary. And this book talks a lot about these experiences. Professor Raymond Suttner, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Now, having a look at this book, it's got a brand new introduction. But what were your feelings when you were approached by the people at Jacana when they said that they wanted to bring this book out again, republish it? It's not often that books get republished, yet yours was.
Yeah, and I was very happy because there was some demand for the earlier edition, but it was not available in South Africa. You had to order it on the internet, and it was quite expensive with the rand going down. So I was very pleased they did it. I also like the new cover very much, and it's like defiant front cover, and on the back cover, there's a picture with me with this bird that I had in the second time I was in prison. The sort of tender. On the one side, there's the defiance. Other side is tender. So I was happy about being republished, but I also thought I couldn't just republish it because things had changed between me and the ANC and its allies, and I needed to write about that as well.
In fact, you do. In fact, I think a lot of people have been motivated to buy the book because of that introduction. It certainly is a very informative and very honest one indeed. You talk about your first experiences when you went to school, and it takes us through all the years until basically the departure, as it were. I think a question I've got to ask straight off the bat, I mean, how do you feel right now that you are of the struggle, but outside the ANC, in a sense?
Yeah, you see, the point that I make throughout the introduction and in an article that I wrote on betrayal in Polity and Daily Maverick a few weeks ago is that the same reasons that led me to join the struggle have led me to leave the organizations which are associated with the struggle. I joined the struggle not just because of ideology, but because I felt some compassion for the poor and the oppressed. When I saw that the ANC and SACP had ruptured their links with the oppressed, by voting for Nkandla, a number of other things, I thought to myself, this is not where I belong. But I had actually decided earlier, at the time of the Zuma rape trial, that's actually when my break occurred, I didn't like the cruelty with which Fezeka Kuzwayo, and then as Kwezi, was treated in that rape trial. I just thought, I associated cruelty with apartheid, and I saw cruelty on the side of the former bearers of liberation.
It's very interesting you mentioning this, because at the same time I've also been reading Ronnie Kasrils' book as well. And yes. I must say both of you were deeply shocked by the trial of Hezekiah Kuzwayo Okwesi, as she came to be called. And that does seem to, I think, for many South Africans, have been a bitter, bitter turning point.
Yes. My book is more introspective than Ronnie Kasrils' book, which is really his personal account of his what he knew of Zuma and what he warned, what he had experienced already in exile. Now, I didn't know any of that, and I met Zuma for the first time in 1989, and I was very impressed at the time. And I would never have expected the sort of things that happen now. So we have a different route towards whatever is in common in our insights. We have taken a different route. And I don't think we are exactly on the same route now, even though I respect Ronnie Kasrils.
No, absolutely. It's just that that's just that one point. Now, what is interesting about your book, because I think anybody who's interested in South African history, university students, journalists, I think they need to read your book, because I think what comes out of it quite profoundly is that anybody, black or white, if you stood against apartheid, there was a price to pay, wasn't there?
Well, you know, you can stand against apartheid in a number of different ways. I was a liberal, and I didn't get arrested for being a liberal. And I actually took a course of action which was illegal. And I got my first period in prison was for illegal action. So standing up didn't get you in jail necessarily. But the second time I didn't break the law, but I was arrested in a state of emergency. But not everyone who was opposed got arrested. I got arrested because I was closely associated with the UDF. And although I was in contact with illegal organizations, I was much wiser the second time round. They couldn't prove it. So that outwardly it was quite legal what I was doing. So the reasons for being arrested relate not just to standing up against apartheid. Depends what you did. And, you know, I was wanting to overthrow that government.
Indeed. I mean, I remember you used to write a lot of pamphlets. You were responsible for pamphlets. I can actually remember some of the pamphlet. I can remember a pamphlet bomb going off in Cape Town.
That's what I was supposed to do, but that was probably another unit job.
A reporter. I was actually standing in the front of my life.
Yes.
But very effective at the time, I must say, considering the climate at the time. Now, your prison, as I say, it is a very introspective book. It's a very personal book. Was it easy to write it? Because basically, your soul is out there on the page.
Yes, you know, it's very difficult to write in the sense that as a trader of the liberation struggle, you are counseled to be modest and you don't use the word I very much. If you write a pamphlet, you don't write it under your own name. Unlike as an academic, I write under my own name. So I was cautious about writing memoirs because I used to always say, who am I when I only had a parking ticket compared with Nelson Mandela? And we used to think that because we had short sentences, we should just keep quiet. So we were so immodest, so modest, that we didn't really admit that we suffered.
Mm-hmm.
What I tried to do in this memoir was different from very many others, is to admit to my fears, my anxieties, and to humanize the experience. because it's not, if you don't humanize the experience, people just look at you with awe, and they don't go away and think, what does this mean for me and the decisions that I take in my life? I may not go to jail, but I have to make moral decisions. So I was not intending the book to be something otherworldly that other people couldn't relate to.
No, I mean, I would agree, it's very relatable. What you've done very skillfully is you put your letters on the page, letters smuggled out, letters to your mother, letters to friends, and you know, having just recently read it, I must say the letters, it's a very effective thing that you've used, because it really does capture all the nuances, and particular the frustrations and the fears and the ups and downs, because let's be honest, whether you were in prison for 1 week or 27 years, it was still a very difficult thing to go through.
Yes. You know, when I reread the book for this new edition, I had to check it because there was something about making sure there were not errors, because the copy that was used was not exactly the same as the original. And when I reread the letters, I realized that there's so much that is not said because you're writing through senses. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the experience was much worse than I remembered, like in my own mind. Because why I say I didn't remember it as being as bad as it was is the way we used to work. You come out of jail, the next day we would say, well, go and work in the unions or go and work here. And people never got proper counseling for the trauma of the experience. And consequently, I thought of my first period in jail as some sort of golden age where it was all fine. And when I look at those letters, I realize it was pretty difficult.
And of course, I mean, you weren't treated with kid gloves. You talk about it in the book. You were tortured. You were hammered by the security branch. You were probably very confused that a white person could actually be against apartheid.
Yes, I think that, you know, I had heard, I think I may have been the first white to have been given electric shocks. But I was, in some ways, I was prepared for apartheid, because I had talked to a lot of people, because I wanted to be ready, if I were arrested, to stand up to the situation and not betray my comrades. Because I remember in my youth how some people had been arrested, they became state witnesses, and I didn't want to disgrace myself. But in order to avoid that, I need to find out as much as possible. So I talked to a lot of people, and I learned as much. And although it was terrible, it was something that I partly expected. But they were vicious, yes.
No, they certainly were. And I speak open to correction. I think you were in Pretoria Central. I think that's the prison when Alex Mombaris and them escaped as well.
Which they escaped from me.
Which didn't make your life easy because when they left you behind.
Yeah, well, you see, that chapter, you can see there's some controversy about it amongst us. We view what the rest of us took is that the most important thing with the escape was that we should ensure that Dennis Goldberg, who was a Rivonia trialist, should escape. And we should make plans that were politically sensible, not just getting out of the jail. Mm-hmm. So there was some disagreement amongst us over that escape. It is a victory to have escaped from there. But afterwards, the prison authorities, after something has happened, they get much more serious about security and cleaning the place. This was almost like ritual cleansing. They just didn't know what to do because you couldn't bring them back. They'd gone.
No, absolutely. And in fact, I've also had the great privilege of actually interviewing Dennis Goldberg on the show, which he actually spoke about that sometimes in quite humorous terms. But that's the way he is, isn't it?
Yes.
Looking at your experiences, the detention in 1986, that must have been more difficult because you were 18 months in solitary confinement. I mean, you're a lawyer, you should know better than most that solitary confinement is a crime against humanity at any level. You had 18 months all on your own in prison. That must have been tough.
Yes, it was very bad. I thought of myself when I was arrested that I was a sort of an expert on solitary, because I had been in solitary for quite long the previous time, but then this was indefinite and went on and on and on, and I was the only white, and that was why I was in solitary. So it was very, very difficult, and I think they feared that something would happen to me, and that was why they allowed me to buy this pet lovebird that I had in the last few weeks or so, or months or so, and that made a big difference, because you want not just affection towards you, but you want some object or person to whom you can express affection. And this bird was something in my life which was made it different from the bars and the warders and so forth.
It's actually very interesting. It was a love bird that sort of helped to give you a bit of focus, because studies have been done, I've heard, amongst criminals. I mean, there's a big difference between a criminal and a political prisoner.
Yes.
That giving them pigeons and doves and animals actually has a very positive psychological effect. I was quite fascinated after I'd read that to see the picture of the lovebird on the back of the book, and I was quite fascinated by that.
Yes. Now, that is interesting. You know, I got the idea from watching the criminal prisoners, because the second time I wasn't in a prison, it was just for political prisoners. Now, there was some chap who had been in some other prison in Johannesburg. He used to feed the pigeons, mm-hmm. and the pigeons came from that other prison, and they found him in Deepcliff Prison. So that they somehow ever can come to find where they're feeding them. So they were, it was humanizing, but also to have people who are murderers and whatever, having this relationship with birds humanizes them. They show kindliness that they haven't shown to the human being that they may have killed.
Yeah, no, it's certainly is a very interesting aspect of everything. You've spent a whole lifetime in the struggle. It seems as if once a person is an activist, you're always an activist. As I say in the classics, you go down with your boots on.
Yes, but now it's difficult, because if you have seen activism as meaning to acting within the ANC, the Communist Party, the UDF, where do I now practice it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking to you with my computer in front of me.
Right.
I'm not involved in organization, but I try to be active in the sense that I look at what's happening, I try to find ways of writing that empower people to do something about this situation and not simply give up. And so I've got my boots on, and I'm still continuing to struggle for the same things as I've struggled since I was a young boy, a young liberal, the same reasons, giving all human beings a sense of humanity. Not just Marxists, communists, African nationalists, but ordinary good people who believe that there should be justice in this country.
Professor Raymond Suttner, it's been a privilege and a pleasure chatting to you. And if you should get hold of the reissue of his book, it's now available in South Africa, Inside Apartheid's Prison, with contemporary reflections on life outside the ANC. I rate it as one of our classics. It is a must read. Professor Suttner's also written other books as well, but today our focus is on Inside Apartheid's Prison by Jacana. It is at a bookshop near you. Professor Raymond Suttner, thanks for chatting to us. Enjoy the weekend. Everything of the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on the show. Good discussion. Cheers.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.